Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In 2018, Calvin Benton started an online psychotherapy company called Spill. Based out of London, England, it was designed to provide online counseling and therapy to companies' employees. So it was there to help them with things like work-related stress and depression, that sort of thing. Well, now today, 5 years later, Spill holds over 25,000 online counseling sessions a year for 100 companies across the United Kingdom. It also employs 13 full-time staff members and additional psychotherapists scattered across the country. Plus, during the pandemic, Spill sales grew by about 40% as people were dealing with all of the stresses that came with it, like working from home. Well, when the company first started, there were only like 5 employees, and everybody was pretty much doing the same things. So Benton decided to try something different. He decided to pay all of his employees the exact same wage, £36,000 a year, which is roughly equal to about $45,000. They calculated that that was a pretty decent wage for living in London. And at first, his plan worked great, right? Paying everybody the same thing kind of fostered a lot of goodwill among those 5 employees. Like, when they went out for drinks after work, there was no expectation that the person making the most would cover the bill, since now everybody made the same thing. Well, as Spill started to grow, Benton needed to hire more employees, such as a software developer and a salesperson and some clerical workers. And he decided that all of them would get the same salary of £36,000 a year. Well, that's when the trouble started. Benton described it this way. Software developers are typically very in demand, and they usually make a higher salary than £36,000. Salespeople are typically paid on commission, so it was not a model that particularly suited either of those two industries. We really struggled to attract senior talent for the software role. And it got to be about 3 months in when the salesperson started asking to be paid according to the sales targets they achieved, saying that the fixed salary wasn't working for them. And at the same time, Benton was getting overwhelmed with applications for the £36,000 a year clerical jobs. We were offering a lot more than other clerical jobs paid, he said. And a lot of people were applying for the roles because they wanted the higher salary, rather than wanting to work at Spill because they believed in the mission of the company. When we grew the team, we started to have some people who contributed more than others. You had some people who worked longer hours than others. And so the question started to arise, should this person be paid the same amount as me? That conflict in the team and conversation in the team led to discussion about whether the experiment was right to continue. Well, after about a year, Benton scrapped his experiment. And he went back to the typical model of paying people based on expertise and experience. But he tweaked it slightly. Now, everyone's pay is common knowledge. Everybody knows what everybody else makes. And he said that helped to bring some harmony to the company. Now, when I first heard this story about Ben's company, I couldn't help but think of the gospel reading we have for today. Right? Here we've got this parable of a landowner who pays all of his workers the same wage. And some of them gripe and complain about it. And we totally get it, right? It makes sense to us. In the way our world works, you should get paid based on the amount of work you do. Like, if you work 40 hours a week, you shouldn't get part-time pay. And if you hire somebody for a part-time job, you shouldn't expect full-time work. Those who work more should get paid more. And we think that people who have better resumes should get paid more, too. If you have the education and the training and the experience that somebody else doesn't have, then you should be paid at a different level. That's just how it works. And sometimes we think this is how God is supposed to work, too. Right, how many times have you said, or thought, or heard somebody else say, I'm a good person, why is this bad thing happening to me? In other words, because I have a good spiritual resume, meaning I love people, I follow the rules, I don't hurt others, and so on, then God should reward me with a good life. I deserve to have things go my way. Things should be better in my life than for all of those losers out there who don't have good spiritual resumes. But right now, as I look at my life, I'm suffering and they seem to be doing great. What's up with that? We completely understand the view of those who are hired first. Even though they had signed the contract and agreed for a day's pay, for a day's work, which is what they received, they still complain about those being hired last getting the same thing. Notice that their complaint was not that they didn't get more money, but rather, you have made them equal to us. Nobody on the top floor with a corner office wants to be told that the person in the mail room is equal to them. Of course, on the flip side, think about Benton's company again. Since he was paying everybody the same thing, lots of people were applying for those entry-level jobs because they would get the same pay for less work. Right? Why should you do the extra work if you're not going to get paid anymore? If you can get a whole day's wage for an hour's work, then why not use the system? Or why not be somebody who barely has a relationship with God and still gets the promise of forgiveness and eternal life and all that good stuff, just like people who have a close relationship with God? Think about those stories you've heard about death row inmates who suddenly have a conversion moment right before they're executed. Should God give them the same grace and mercy and new life that God gives to you? We know we're supposed to say yes, but part of us still thinks no. That's not fair. Doesn't my faithful life to God for all these years matter for anything? When we hear this parable, it's really easy for us to relate to those who are hired first. But rather than automatically seeing yourself as one of those hired first, think about yourself as one of those hired last. If we look at the overall history of the people of God, people who have served God, people who have been faithful to God, we are relative newcomers. Think about all of the Jewish people. The people whose history traces all the way through the Old Testament. They are the first ones hired. They've been doing this life of faith a whole lot longer than we have. And yet, in God's abundant mercy, we who are Gentiles, not Jewish, we who are Christians, we are given the same blessings that they receive. Or you can even think of it more personally. There have been plenty of people who have lived before you who've had a close relationship with God. They went through suffering, they experienced pain, they had times of doubt and conflict and stress and struggle, and they worked really hard. They have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat, so to speak. And then there's you. In the vast history of the world, you have a handful of years to a handful of decades under your belt. That's hardly any time at all. There are plenty of people who have been hired, so to speak, before you. And there will be plenty of people who are hired after you. And yet the good news here is that God gives the same blessings to you as God does to everybody else. That's because it's not about deserving God's grace. It's not about earning it or working for it or being owed it. Right? God doesn't owe you anything. God is never in your debt. God doesn't give you a spiritual paycheck for being a good person. You are not entitled to eternal life or forgiveness of sins or heaven after you die or any of that good stuff. Instead, God simply gives that to you. God gives you all of these wonderful blessings because God treasures you. God chooses to give these things to you. God doesn't have to treat you this way, but God wants to treat you this way because God loves you and God is generous to you. So imagine God saying this to you. In the vast scope of the world, you are new on the scene. But what you offer in my name is just as valuable as those who came before you. Don't listen to people when they say you're worthless or not important. Don't buy it when they say you don't matter as much as they do. Instead, listen to me. I am the one who called you by name. I am the one who chose you and hired you, even though nobody else would even notice you. I am the one who sees that you have an important part to play in what I'm doing in this world. And I want to celebrate that. That's why you receive the same grace as everybody else. And everybody else receives the same grace as you. Because in my eyes, you matter. So yes, in one sense, it doesn't seem fair. But that's only if we come at it from our sinful human point of view. When we come at it from God's point of view, when we see this wonderful expression of scandalous grace, then it's a complete game changer. It flips the world right side up. It changes how we view the world and how we view each other. When Calvin Benton tried to pay everybody at Spill the same wage, it didn't work. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it works great. You are not just some entry-level person in the kingdom of God. Because of Jesus, you are just as important as everybody else. And that's awesome. So what does everybody in the kingdom of God make? We all make a difference. In the name of the one who embodies God's radical grace, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.